Thank you, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and us in the universe family of God, for listening to my podcast, Personal God Consciousness in Jesus and Living Eternal Truths. I am Brother Dave, your host. We have two other co-hosts, Cheryl Smiley and Cindy Cooper. Please visit my large website, www.purechristians.org, or ledbyjesus.org, same website. You'll find many valuable and comprehensive religious and spiritual resources there. When you get there, scroll about 25% down the homepage, and then you may read, download, and share my always free 100-page PDF of key highlights of my books on the nature, life, and teachings of our Creator, Son of God, and Son of Man, Jesus Christ. If any here wish to receive by email a free copy of the text on our show, comment, ask questions, or receive more free text, just email me, dave@purechristians.org. Freely we have received truth in God's Spirit. Freely we love to share His truth. We hope and pray that you do too. We thank you, our brothers and sisters in the perfecting family of God, of all mankind here on earth. We thank you all for listening. Thank you for your spiritual support. We thank you for sharing gems of truth with others. We have selected verses and paragraphs on this topic from the Christian Bible and from the unique 2,097-page Fifth Epical Revelation of Truth, which is named the Urantia Book. That revelation was given around AD 1935. It's in modern American English, and it allows our seeking minds and souls much joy and enthusiasm as we read these powerful verses. All reflective, truth-seeking humans on this planet will find some value from these readings. It's freely available online. There's no copyright because only humans can hold a copyright, and this revelation was given by superhumans, so it's fully in the public domain. And so it allows us to then share portions of it wisely with others.
So now we will begin. This will be part one of this topic, Worship Revealed in Great Detail. And this is from the Urantia Book in the foreword part five, Personality Realities, paragraph one. Personality is a level of deified reality and ranges from the mortal and midwayer level of the higher mind activation of worship and wisdom up through the morontial, that's soul reality, and spiritual to the attainment of finality or personality status. That is the evolutionary ascent of mortal and kindred creature personality. But there are numerous other orders of universe personalities. I add here to note, midwayers are beings long resident on earth who bridge the gap between higher seraphim angels and lower humans. They are invisible and can travel up to twice the speed of light. Seraphim can travel three times the speed of light. Higher beings can travel up to infinite speed, totally transcending all of our space and time limitations. I see now we have a co-host that just called in. So, hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Dave.
Glad to have you here. I just started.
Yes,
okay, I'll read two more paragraphs, and then we'll take turns, and we'll have Cheryl Smiley read three or four paragraphs. We'll read back and forth. We might get another co-host, Cindy Cooper, on here, too, if she gets off work. I'm reading in the second paragraph here in the foreword, part five, paragraph eight. This is item two on mind, the thinking, perceiving, and feeling mechanism of the human organism, the total conscious and unconscious experience, the intelligence associated with the emotional life reaching upward through worship and wisdom to the spiritual level. Worship and wisdom are the top two of the seven ascendant mind spirits from our holy creative mother spirit and our local universal Nevadon. And she is the source of human mind. Related to that, I'm now jumping to paper 36, section 5, paragraph 2, about the defining the seven ascendant mind spirits. They are called by names which are the equivalents of the following designations. This is listed from low to high. Intuition, understanding, courage, knowledge, counsel. And those first five, the animals and living organisms have some of those first five. Higher animals like elephants and horses and dogs and cats have the first five. But only humans have the top two, number six and seven. Item number six is worship, and the highest one is wisdom. Now, why would wisdom be higher than worship? Well, that's a good question. I think if worship were higher than wisdom, we'd just want to worship all the time. And so by having human wisdom, we then have free will choice to follow God's indwelling spirit within us, the will of God, or do it fully or partially, or to not do it, do your own selfish will. And so God put our human wisdom higher than worship. I think that's one or two reasons why that is that way. Reading on about these seven Ashton spirits, these mind spirits send forth their influence into all the inhabited worlds, and there's 7 trillion human inhabited planets in this first age, into all the inhabited worlds as a differential urge, each seeking receptivity capacity for manifestation quite apart from the degree to which its fellows may find expression and opportunity for function. So these 7 agents of mind spirits work separately. And so now, Cheryl, if you'd like to start in part one.
Okay.
There's 4 parts in the Urantia book.
Part one, the central and super universes. Paper one, the universal father. Introduction. Paragraph 3. The enlightened worlds all recognize and worship the universal father, the eternal maker and infinite upholder of all creation. The will creatures of universe upon universe have embarked upon the long, long paradise journey, the fascinating struggle of the eternal adventure of attaining God the Father. The transcendent goal of the children of time is to find the eternal God,
to comprehend the divine nature, to recognize the universal Father.
God-knowing creatures have only one supreme ambition, just one consuming desire, and that is to become, as they are in their spheres, like him as he is in his
paradise perfection
of personality and in his universal sphere of righteous supremacy. From the universal Father who inhabits eternity, there has gone forth
the supreme mandate.
Be you perfect, even as I am perfect, unquote. In love and mercy, the messengers of paradise have carried this divine exhortation down through the ages and out through the universes, even to such lowly animal origin creatures as the human races of Urantia. Note, that's Earth. Only our bodies are of animal origin. Our higher, unique personality, God's spirit, will, within, soul, and mind, are all divine gifts from God. End note. Section 1, the Father's name. Paragraph 2, the universal Father never imposes any form of arbitrary recognition, formal worship, or slavish service upon the intelligent will creatures of the universes. The evolutionary inhabitants of the worlds of time and space
must of themselves,
in their own hearts, recognize, love, and voluntarily worship him. The Creator refuses to coerce or compel the submission of the spiritual free wills of his material creatures. The affectionate dedication of the human will to the doing of the Father's will is man's choicest gift to God. In fact, such a consecration of creature will constitutes man's only possible gift of true value to the Paradise Father. In God, man lives, moves, and has his being. There is nothing which man can give to God except his choosing to abide by the Father's will. And such decisions effected by the intelligent will creatures of the universes constitute the reality of that true worship, which is so satisfying to the love-dominated nature of the Creator Father. Section 7, Spiritual Value of the Personality Concept. Paragraph 1. When Jesus talked about, quote, the living God, unquote, he referred to a personal deity, the Father
in heaven.
The concept of the personality of deity facilitates fellowship. It favors intelligent worship. It promotes refreshing trustfulness. Interactions can be had between non-personal things, but not fellowship. The fellowship relation of Father and Son as between God and man cannot be enjoyed unless both are persons. Only personalities can commune with each other. Albeit this personal communion may be greatly facilitated by the presence of just such an impersonal entity as the thought adjuster. Note, God's pure spirit essence within your mind, God's will within you. End note. Dave?
Thank you, Cheryl. Okay, I'll go on to paper 2, The Nature of God. Section 5, The Love of God. Paragraph 6, 7. how unreasonable that you should not worship God because the limitations of human nature and the handicaps of your material creation make it impossible for you to see him. Between you and God, there is a tremendous distance, physical space, to be traversed. There likewise exists a great gulf of spiritual differential which must be bridged. But notwithstanding all that physically and spiritually separates you from the paradise personal presence of God, stop and ponder the solemn fact that God lives within you. He has in his own way already bridged the gulf. He has sent of himself his spirit to live in you and to toil with you as you pursue your eternal universe career. Amen. What a gift. Paragraph 7. That is a paradise level divine counselor states here. I find it easy and pleasant to worship one who is so great and at the same time so affectionately devoted to the uplifting ministry of his lowly creatures. I naturally love one who is so powerful in creation and in the control thereof, and yet who is so perfect in goodness and so faithful in the loving kindness which constantly overshadows us. I think I would love God just as much if he were not so great and powerful, as long as he is so good and merciful. We all love the Father more because of his nature than in recognition of his amazing attributes. I add, God the Universal Father on Paradise is just as loving and merciful and friendly as our local universe Creator Father Son Jesus Christ Michael is. They are one in spirit. Most Christians know that Jesus Christ is just like God. But then they fail to realize that God the Father must be just like Jesus Christ, just as loving and merciful, friendly, fatherly, kind. So God can't be wrathful and wanting to destroy and murder people for the slightest sins, as in the Old Testament. Jesus came because the Old Testament was so defective, people were not learning about the true nature of God. So Jesus came down here. Jesus reveals then, and now here he's here in spirit, revealing the true, eternally unchanging, all-loving, all-merciful nature of God our Father. To really understand God's spirit nature, you can go to college and study theology and ministry and all that, and that's good up to a point. But if you look at just a few red-letter words in the Bible, that's a few words said by Jesus. Okay, there's 800,000 words in the Bible, and Jesus Christ said only 1,024 unique words in the four Gospels of the New Testament. And of all those 1,000-plus words of Jesus, that's only just a tiny part of what he said when he's here on earth, of course. We only have a small part of his teaching. But the most important to really know God the Father is to go to Luke chapter 15 and read carefully, pray about this, the three powerful parables that Jesus said often all together at the same time. And that's the lost coin, the lost sheep,
and the lost or prodigal son.
In Luke chapter 15, then you'll know the true loving nature of God the Father. Forget about what it says in the Old Testament where he's only wants a few people. Some people think only so many, 144,000 will be saved or less or more. God is wanting, desiring to save everybody. We are all now in the family of God. The good, the average, and the bad people are all now in the family of God, and all are equally loved by God the Father. That's true. That's why Jesus says that we should grow in his spirit and learn to eventually learn how to love even our enemies. They too are in the family of God, and they can be rehabilitated if that is their will. Now, if you don't want to get rehabilitated, you can demand later, when we're all taken up into the higher heaven, to be non-existent, to be not. If you absolutely refuse progress and refuse to see God or do his will totally, then you would agree that you'd want to be non-existent. And that's what happens. There's no barbaric burning hellfire and damnation. It's either to be an eternal ascending son of God or to be not. And those who absolutely refuse that would be then instantly and painlessly made non-existent, as if they never were. Okay, Cheryl, if you'd like to go on.
Paper 4, God's Relation to the Universe.
Okay. Section 2, God and Nature. Paragraph 6. Nature on your world is a qualification of the laws of perfection by the evolutionary plans of the local universe. What a travesty to worship nature because it is, in a limited, qualified sense, pervaded by God. Because it is a phase of the universal, and therefore divine power. Nature also is a manifestation of the unfinished, the incomplete, the imperfect outworking of the development, growth, and progress of a universe experiment in cosmic evolution. Paragraph 8. And nature is marred. Her beautiful face is scarred. Her features are seared by the rebellion, the misconduct, the misthinking of the myriads of creatures who are a part of nature, but who have contributed to her disfigurement in time. No, nature is not God. Nature is not an object of worship. Section 4, the realization of God. Paragraph 8, we crave the concept of the infinite, but we worship the experience idea of God. Our anywhere and anytime capacity to grasp the personality and divinity factors of our highest concept of deity. Dave?
Thanks, Cheryl. Okay, here's paper 5. That's one of my favorites. God's relation to the individual. Of the 196 papers in the Urantia book, Revelation, the first 5 are on God, the Universal Father. And this last paper 5 is tremendous. This will be section 3, true worship, paragraph 1, 2, 3, and then I'll have, it goes, I think, 8 paragraphs, so we'll take turns reading. I'll read the first 3 here. Okay, true worship. Though the paradise deities, from the universe standpoint, are as one, that's God the Universal Father, God the Eternal Son, and God the Infinite Spirit. In their spiritual relations with such beings as inhabit Urantia, that's Earth, they are also 3 distinct and separate persons. They are spirit persons. None of those are finite physical. They're omnipresent spirit persons. There is a difference between the Godheads in the matter of personal appeals, communion, and other intimate relations. In the highest sense, we worship the Universal Father and Him only. True, we can and do worship the Father as He is manifested in His Creator's sons, but it is the Father, directly or indirectly, who is worshipped and adored. Here I add, here in our local universe, our Creator's Son, Jesus Christ, Michael. Michael is a title meaning he who is just like God. Fully has the full personality, spirit, presence of God the Father and God the Eternal Son within him. So he is the same as if the first 2 persons of the Trinity were living here running our local universe of Nevadon. That would be the same as what Jesus is doing. And Jesus' partner, the Holy Creative Mother Spirit, she is the fullness of the 3rd person of the Paradise Trinity, God the Infinite Spirit. So then you have here in our space-time local universe named Nevadon, the fullness of the Trinity applied in and through Jesus Christ and his partner, the Holy Spirit. So in Paradise and 2 rulers, co-rulers here in our local universe, and all are as one in spirit. Okay, paragraph 2. Supplications of all kinds belong to the realm of the Eternal Son and the Son's spiritual organization. Prayers, all formal communications, everything except adoration and worship of the Universal Father, are matters that concern a local universe. They do not ordinarily proceed out of the realm of the jurisdiction of a Creator's Son. That'd be our Master Jesus Christ, of course. But worship is undoubtedly circuited and dispatched to the person of the Creator by the function of the Father's personality circuit. God, the Father, infinite I am, is I am. That's his personality circuit. You and I have personality. You and I are I am. I am a divinely beloved son of God, the Father, infinite I am. That's true of men and women equally. All humans are spiritually classified as sons of God. Daughters of God are the types of angels. Reading on. So we are in the Father's personality presence gravity circuit right now. We further believe that such registry of the homage of an adjuster and book creature is facilitated by the Father's spirit presence. That would be the thought adjuster or the mystery monitor living within your mind. There exists a tremendous amount of evidence to substantiate such a belief. And I know that all orders of Father fragments, that's the adjusters, are empowered to register the bona fide adoration of their subjects acceptably in the presence of the Universal Father. The adjusters undoubtedly also utilize direct, pre-personal channels of communication with God. and they are likewise able to utilize the spirit gravity circuits of the eternal Son. I add, God the Father, infinite I am, is omnipersonal, superpersonal, personal, and prepersonal, far beyond present human comprehensions. But we are each, quote, I am a divinely beloved Son of God, I am of I am, in the universal Father's personality circuit. Amen. Okay, paragraph 3. Worship is for its own sake. Prayer embodies a self or creature interest element. There is a great difference between worship and prayer. There is absolutely no self-request or other element of personal interest in true worship. We simply worship God for what we comprehend Him to be. Worship asks nothing and expects nothing for the worshiper. We do not worship the Father because of anything we may derive from such veneration. We render such devotion and engage in such worship as a natural and spontaneous reaction to the recognition of the Father's matchless personality and because of His lovable nature and adorable attributes. Amen.
Paragraph 4. The moment the element of self-interest intrudes upon worship, the instant devotion translates from worship to prayer, and more appropriately, should be directed to the person of the Eternal Son or the Creator's Son. But in practical religious experience, there exists no reason why prayer should not be addressed to God the Father as a part of true worship. When you deal with the practical affairs of your daily life, you are in the hands of the spirit personalities having origin in the third source and center. You are cooperating with the agencies of the conjoint actor. And the conjoint actor is God the Infinite Spirit, acting for God the Father and God the Eternal Son. And so it is, you worship God, pray to and commune with the Son, and work out the details of your earthly sojourn in connection with the intelligences of the Infinite Spirit operating on your world and throughout your universe.
Paragraph 6.
The Creator's sovereign sons who preside over the destinies of the local universes stand in the place of both the Universal Father and the Eternal Son of Paradise. These universe sons receive, in the name of the Father, the adoration of worship and give ear to the pleas of their petitioning subjects throughout their respective creations. To the children of a local universe, a Michael son, that's our Jesus Christ Michael, is, to all practical intents and purposes, God. He is the local universe personification of the Universal Father and the Eternal Son. The Infinite Spirit maintains personal contact with the children of these realms, that's our Holy Spirit, through the universe spirits, the administrative and creative associates of the Paradise Creator's Sons. Paragraph 7, sincere worship connotes the mobilization of all the powers of the human personality under the dominance of the evolving soul and subject to the divine directionalization of the associated thought adjuster, God's spirit will living within you. The mind of material limitation can never become highly conscious of the real significance of true worship. Man's realization of the reality of the worship experience is chiefly determined by the developmental status of his evolving immortal soul. The spiritual growth of the soul takes place wholly independently of the intellectual self-consciousness.
And in another part of this revelation, it states, if your soul were to
cease growing,
it would speedily die. Our souls are constantly growing thanks to God the Father and the Spirit Adjuster, the essence of the Father working within us. Okay, here's the last paragraph.
Okay, paragraph 8. The worship experience consists in the sublime attempt of the betrothed adjuster to communicate to the Divine Father the inexpressible longings and the unutterable aspirations of the human soul. The conjoint creation of the God-seeking mortal mind and the God-revealing immortal adjuster. Worship is, therefore, the act of the material mind's assenting to the attempt of its spiritualizing self under the guidance of the associated spirit to communicate with God as a faith son of the universal Father. The mortal mind consents to worship. The immortal soul craves and initiates worship. The divine adjuster presence conducts such worship in behalf of the mortal mind and the evolving immortal soul. True worship, in the last analysis, becomes an experience realized on four cosmic levels. The intellectual, the morontial soul, the spiritual and the personal. The consciousness of mind, soul, and spirit, and their unification in personality.
Section 4, God and Religion, paragraph 5. All religions teach the worship of deity and some doctrine of human salvation. The Buddhist religion promises salvation from suffering, unending peace. The Jewish religion promises salvation from difficulties, prosperity predicated on righteousness. The Greek religion promised salvation from disharmony, ugliness, by the realization of beauty. Christianity promises salvation from sin, sanctity. Mohammedanism provides deliverance from the rigorous moral standards of Judaism and Christianity. The religion of Jesus is salvation from self, deliverance from the evils of creature isolation in time and in eternity. Paragraph 8. The Greek religion had a watchword, know yourself. The Hebrews centered their teaching on know your God. The Christians preach a gospel aimed at a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus proclaimed the good news of knowing God and yourself as the Son of God. I add here, all humans, male and females alike, are classified spiritually as sons of God. The daughters of God are the many types of angels. Reading on, these differing concepts of the purpose of religion determine the individual's attitude in various life situations and foreshadow the depth of worship and the nature of his personal habits of prayer. The spiritual status of any religion may be determined by the nature of its prayers. Section 5, The Consciousness of God, paragraph 2. Religion is not grounded in the facts of science, the obligations of society, the assumptions of philosophy, the implied duties of morality. Religion is an independent realm of human response to life situations and is unfailingly exhibited at all stages of human development, which are post-moral. After a human is near age 6 years on average and makes his or her first moral decision, religion may permeate all four levels of the realization of values and the enjoyment of universe fellowship: the physical or material level of self-preservation, the social or emotional level of fellowship, the moral or duty level of reason, the spiritual level of the consciousness of universe fellowship through divine worship. Paragraph 4. Moral conduct is always an antecedent of evolved religion and a part of even revealed religion, but never the whole of religious experience. Social service is the result of moral thinking and religious living. Morality does not biologically lead to the higher spiritual levels of religious experience. The adoration of the abstract beautiful is not the worship of God. Neither is exaltation of nature, nor the reverence of unity, the worship of God. Paragraph 6. Religious experience, being essentially spiritual, can never be fully understood by the material mind, hence the function of theology, the psychology of religion. The essential doctrine of the human realization of God creates a paradox in finite comprehension. It is well nigh impossible for human logic and finite reason to harmonize the concept of divine immanence, God within and a part of every individual, with the idea of God's transcendence, the divine domination of the universe of universes. These two essential concepts of deity must be unified in the faith grasp of the concept of the transcendence of a personal God and in the realization of the indwelling presence of a fragment of that God in order to justify intelligent worship and validate the hope of personality survival. The difficulties and paradoxes of religion are inherent in the fact that the realities of religion are utterly beyond the mortal capacity for intellectual comprehension. A wise man once said, "If God were small enough for a finite human comprehension, he would not be big enough for our real needs." Very true. Reading on, paragraph 7, mortal man secures three great satisfactions from religious experience, even in the days of his temporal sojourn on earth. 1. Intellectually, he acquires the satisfactions of a more unified human consciousness. 2. Philosophically, he employs the substantiation of his ideals of moral values. 3. Spiritually, he thrives in the experience of divine companionship and the spiritual satisfactions of true worship. Paragraph 14. The ability of mortal parents to procreate is not predicated on their educational, cultural, social, or economic status. The union of the parental factors, that be sperm and egg, under natural conditions is quite sufficient to initiate offspring. A human mind discerning right and wrong and possessing the capacity to worship God, in union with a divine adjuster, God's pure spirit essence, the will of God living within you, is all that is required in that mortal to initiate and foster the production of his immortal soul of survival qualities. We don't ascend physically or bodily, thank God for that. We ascend into much higher soul reality form, into the next higher heaven. Much later will be spirit reality forms. Okay, for the production of his immortal soul of survival qualities, if such a spirit-endowed individual seeks God and sincerely desires to become like him, honestly affects to do the will of the Father in heaven. Yes, my brothers and sisters in truth, we're all called to be more godlike. We can't do it very well in this first short, brief life, but we should sincerely try. What would Jesus do? Try to imitate his perfect nature. Section 6, The God of Personality, paragraph 11. As all gravity is circuited in the Isle of Paradise, as all mind is circuited in the conjoint actor, and all spirit in the eternal Son, so is all personality circuited in the personal, as I am presence of the universal Father. And this circuit unerringly transmits the worship of all personalities to the original and eternal personality. Paper 6, The Eternal Son, Section 2, Nature of the Eternal Son, paragraph 3. In nature, the Son is wholly like the Spirit Father. When we worship the universal Father, actually we at the same time worship God the Son and God the Spirit. God the Son is just as divinely real and eternal in nature as God the Father. I add, first, realize the eternal deity unity of the existential paradise trinity of the three spirit persons, God the universal Father, God the eternal Son, and God the infinite Spirit. Paper 9, Relation of the Infinite Spirit to the Universe, Section 5, The Ministry of Mind, paragraph 7. Too often, all too often, you mar your minds by insincerity and sear them with unrighteousness. You subject them to animal fear and distort them by useless anxiety. Therefore, though the source of mind is divine, mind as you know it on your world of ascension can hardly become the object of great admiration, much less of adoration or worship. The contemplation of the immature and inactive human intellect should lead only to reactions of humility. I add, our scientists estimate that the average human only uses 5 or 10% of his mind capacity. And then when looking at a more real, higher reality of soul, we use a tiny fraction of 1%, I assume, of our soul reality. And of our eternal spirit reality, we're using almost nothing, maybe a trillionth of 1%, or much less. Reading on, paper 10, The Paradise Trinity, section 8, The Trinity Beyond the Finite, paragraph 5. We, now this is a high divine counselor from paradise, we know the universal Father, the eternal Son, and the infinite Spirit as persons. But I do not personally know the deity absolute. I love and worship God the Father. I respect and honor the deity absolute. I add here, there are three absolutes of the seven absolutes of infinity in God the Father, infinite I am. Paper 11, The Eternal Isle of Paradise, Section 3, Upper Paradise, Paragraph 1. On Upper Paradise, there are three grand spheres of activity, the Deity Presence, the Most High Sphere, and the Holy Area. The vast region immediately surrounding the presence of the deities is set aside as the Most Holy Sphere and is reserved for the functions of worship, trinitization, and high spiritual attainment. There are no material structures nor purely intellectual creations in this zone. They could not exist there. It is useless for me to undertake to portray to the human mind the divine nature and the beauteous grandeur of the most holy sphere of paradise. This realm is wholly spiritual, and you are almost wholly material. Purely spiritual reality is, to a purely material being, apparently non-existent. After we have our spirit birth, we can then comprehend soul, moral issues, and spiritual realities. And we can't see physically God and Jesus in the spirit, but we can perceive and comprehend those in our spirit-led souls and minds. Section 5, Nether, that's lower paradise. Paragraph 2, item number 1. Directly beneath the location of the Trinity, in the central portion of Nether Paradise, is the unknown and unrevealed Zone of Infinity. Wow. The Zone of Infinity in the center of Paradise, between upper and lower Paradise, in the absolute center, the core of Paradise and God, is infinite reality, the Zone of Infinity. Paper 14, The Central and Divine Universe, Section 4, Creatures of the Divine Universe, Paragraph 13. As the worship of the faith sons, as countless humans, of the 7 trillion evolutionary worlds ministers to the satisfaction of the Universal Father's love, so the exalted adoration of the Havona creatures satiates the perfect ideals of divine beauty and truth. As mortal man strives to do the will of God, these beings of the central universe live to gratify the ideals of the Paradise Trinity. In their very nature, they are the will of God. Man rejoices in the goodness of God. Havoners exult in the divine beauty, while you both enjoy the ministry of the liberty of living truth. Now, Havona is a huge 1 billion ultimate-absolute spheres, super high heavens that surround the nuclear hour of paradise. And we, after we go through all the soul-level heavens and the local universe made by our Creator, Son of God, Jesus Christ, Michael, it's 570 progressively higher soul-level heavens, then Jesus will grant us first-stage spirit reality, and then we'll be able to go on higher and higher up through the super universe spirit levels, and then into the 1 billion Havona spirit level heavens. And we will go through all 1 billion of those heavens before we are all finally spirit perfected enough to be eternal paradise residents with God the Father, Son, and Spirit. And there's more in our glorious destiny after that. It never ends. Forever and ever we'll be discovering more and more of the unending infinity of God the Father. Paper 16, The 7 Master Spirits. Section 6, The Cosmic Mind. Paragraph 5. The cosmic mind unfailingly responds, recognizes response, on 3 levels of universe reality. These responses are self-evident to clear reasoning and deep thinking minds. These levels of reality are 1. Causation, 2. Duty, 3. Worship. I'll read those in detail. 1. Causation, the reality domain of the physical senses, the scientific realms of logical uniformity, the differentiation of the factual and the non-factual, reflective conclusions based on cosmic response. This is a mathematical form of the cosmic discrimination. 2. Duty, the reality domain of morals in the philosophic realm, the arena of reason, the recognition of relative right and wrong. This is the judicial form of the cosmic discrimination. 3. Worship, the spiritual domain of the reality of religious experience, the personal realization of divine fellowship, the recognition of spirit values, the assurance of eternal survival, the ascent from the status of servants of God to the joy and liberty of the sons of God. This is the highest insight of the cosmic mind, the reverential and worshipful form of the cosmic discrimination. Paragraph 9, these scientific, moral, and spiritual insights, these cosmic responses are innate in the cosmic mind, which endows all will creatures. The experience of living never fails to develop these 3 cosmic intuitions. They are constitutive of the self-consciousness of reflective thinking. But it is sad to record that so few persons on your rancha, that's Earth, take delight in cultivating the qualities of courageous, independent cosmic thinking. Paragraph 10. In the local universe, mind bestows these 3 insights of the cosmic mind constitute the a priori assumptions which make it possible for man to function as a rational and self-conscious personality in the realms of science, philosophy, and religion. Stated otherwise, the recognition of the reality of these 3 manifestations of the infinite is by a cosmic technique of self-revelation. Matter energy is recognized by the mathematical logic of the senses. Mind reason intuitively knows its moral duty. Spirit faith, worship, is a religion of the reality of spiritual experience. These three basic factors in reflective thinking may be unified and coordinated in personality development, or they may become disproportionate and virtually unrelated in their respective functions. But when they become unified, they produce a strong character consisting in the correlation of a factual science, a moral philosophy, and a genuine religious experience. And it is these three cosmic intuitions that give objective validity, reality, to man's experience in and with things, meanings, and values. I add here, the six spiritual values are love, mercy, service ministry, truth, beauty, and goodness. Out here in the space-time universes, we humans starting out are more able to comprehend the latter three, truth, beauty, and goodness. Love, mercy, and service ministry are perfectly manifest, of course, in eternity by God the Universal Father, who is love, God the Eternal Son, who is mercy, and God the Infinite Spirit, who is service ministry. There are many types of angels and so on. Okay, now we go to paragraph 11. It is the purpose of education to develop and sharpen these innate endowments of the human mind, of civilization to express them, of life experience to realize them, of religion to ennoble them, and of personality to unify them. Section 8, your ranch of personality, paragraph 7, the relative free will which characterizes the self-consciousness of human personality is involved in, and I'll just read item number 7, worship, the sincere pursuit of divine values and the wholehearted love of the divine value giver. That's God, our loving Father. Paragraph 15, the Urantia type of human personality may be viewed as functioning in a physical mechanism consisting of the planetary modification of the Nemadon, that's our local universe, made, sustained, and evolving into light and life perfection by our Master Creator Son of God, Jesus Christ Michael. Of the Nemadon type of organism belonging to the electrochemical order of life activation and endowed with the Nemadon order of the Orvantan, that's our super universe number 7 of 7, Orvantan series of the cosmic mind of parental reproductive pattern. The bestowal of the divine gift of personality upon such a mind-endowed mortal mechanism confers the dignity of cosmic citizenship and enables such a mortal creature forthwith to become reactive to the constitutive recognition of the three basic mind realities of the cosmos. Number 1, the mathematical or logical recognition of the uniformity of physical causation. Number 2, the reasoned recognition of the obligation of moral conduct. Number 3, the faith grasp of the fellowship worship of deity associated with the loving service of humanity. Paragraph 19, the full function of such a personality endowment the beginning realization of deity kinship. So, such a selfhood, indwelt by a pre-personal fragment of God the Father, is in truth and in fact a spiritual son of God. Such a creature not only discloses capacity for the recognition of the gift of the divine presence, but also exhibits reactive response to the personality gravity circuit of the Paradise Father of all personalities. I add, there are four gravity presence circuits of God the Father, personality, spirit, mind, and force, energy, power, matter. Section 9, reality of human consciousness, paragraph 14. You become conscious of man as your creature brother because you are already conscious of God as your creator father. Fatherhood is a relationship out of which we reason ourselves into the recognition of brotherhood, and fatherhood becomes, or may become, a universal reality to all moral creatures because the Father has himself bestowed personality upon all such beings and has encircled them within the grasp of the universal personality circuit. We are in that. We are an I am. I am a son of God, and so are you. And I am of I am, God the Father, infinite I am. We are related, Father and Son. This is very powerful here, this last sentence. One of my favorites. We worship God first because He is, then because He is in us, and last because we are in Him. That's a tremendous revealed living truth. Okay, I want to thank our two co-hosts, Cindy Cooper and Cheryl Smiley, and thank you all for being our listeners. We will continue this worship topic with a one-hour part two podcast here in about a week. Dear listeners, please always know the truth that God lives within you. He loves you and all humans lavishly and unconditionally. His fatherly love should endow us to grow in His Spirit, to learn to love and serve more and more humans, as they are also in the family of God, as our brothers and sisters, faith sons of God in Jesus in spirit. Farewell, not goodbye. Do well. Amen. Thank you.